Welcome to Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. Each week, we explore down and dirty ways to stop awfulizing, catastrophizing, going down the rabbit hole, and moving through all the craziness that is happening right now. We're here to create a community of like-minded people as we give you tips, tricks, and techniques for keeping sane in an unhinged world. And now, here are your hosts, Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg.
Hey, everybody. This is Scott Grossberg, one of your co-hosts for the podcast, Keeping Your Shit Together in a Stressed World. And I'm here with my podcast co-host, Michelle Post. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Scott. Hello, everybody. Welcome back.
We have a special show today.
I know. I'm excited.
We have a guest. Yeah. I always love it when we have a guest because it's not just you and I.
I know.
Talking about our stuff all the time. And why don't you set the stage, by the way? Before you do our guest's intro, how you two met.
So I started consulting and working in kind of the background scenes of this amazing California-based mental health app for 13 to 25-year-olds. It's sponsored by the Department of Mental Health in California. It's called Soluna. That's the name of the app. And it is developed by Couth Digital, which is actually a company out of the UK. They've been around for quite a while in the UK. Came first to Pennsylvania, then Kentucky, then we're expanding to California. So I'm in the background whenever they offer not only resources on the app for free, but if a teenager or young adult wants to do coaching or drop-in coaching, or they need life skills or support on something, there are live coaches. And then there are people that help make sure risk is managed, that if anybody is feeling like they are in danger or not safe to themselves or others, that we have clinicians, licensed clinicians in the background. And I'm one of those licensed clinicians in the background. And as part of my onboarding, I met this wonderful human being who did a recorded training and happened to mention that she also leads a podcast called Champagne and Chakras. And I just thought, oh my God, this is my human, right? Like, here's another human. So I reached out to her through our company interaction. And I said, please, please, would you consider coming on our podcast? I think it would be a really wonderful crossover fit. I'd love our audience to know about your podcast. And we'd love to get to know you more. And she agreed. And so she's here today.
So I normally don't correct you.
What did I say?
But I'm going to do it right now because I want our audience to get this correct. Our guest's podcast is actually Chakras and Chardonnay.
Oh, you know, I was talking to somebody about champagne earlier today and you are correct. It is Chakras and Chardonnay. My apologies.
With that,
I would love to introduce everybody to our guest today. We have with us Maria Mays. She is a multifaceted professional. She serves as a meditation teacher, a well-being coach. She is the founder of Take 5 LLC. It's a workplace wellness company, and she's a senior customer success manager at Couth Digital Health, which is where I met her. She spearheads the adoption and integration of groundbreaking mental health app for the adolescents that I mentioned. And we're building community partnerships with people that can help get this app and these in the hands of adolescents. But through Take 5, Maria integrates breath work, meditation, mindfulness into corporate environments, fostering wellness for the conference room and the cocktail table, not one or the other, but both. She's committed to enhancing the mental well-being of the collective, and Maria offers one-on-one coaching to executives, and she leads group classes in workplaces, behavioral health care centers, and at wineries. Such a cool combination. So as I mentioned, she is also the host of Chakras and Chardonnay podcast, and she brings these transformative teachings to a global audience. So, Maria, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Michelle. I appreciate yeah. appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you to your listeners for giving us this space. So, and I have to say, champagne and chakras works too. In fact, most champagnes are made with Chardonnay. So you got it right.
All right. I love it. Thank you.
So I have to, before we launch into this, I have to tell you why I was fascinated and excited that you came on, because I as well do a lot of mindfulness, breath work, visualization, but it's done in the government realm. A lot of public agencies bring me in, believe it or not, to our listening audience. The cities and counties within, at least where I am, California, really do take the well-being of their employees very seriously for a variety of reasons. But they're starting to become even more mindful about their state of being because customer service is so critical in today's world. And so we don't want everybody stressed out and burned out and, you know, crazy out of their mind. So I'm really looking forward to learning from you today.
Oh, mm-hmm. Likewise.
Mm-hmm. Likewise. So Maria, to just get us started, what would you say is the most important thing that people need to understand about why mindful consumption would be valuable?
Mm. Well, I think we can all look at our consumption in general of everything that we consume, whether it be social media, whether it be food, whether it be wine or any other form of alcohol or any substance really, and just take a moment to look at your consumption, just how mindful is it, right? So if we ask that question of ourselves, I know mine wasn't always for certain that mindful. In fact, my journey was one of self-medicating with wine to getting really deep in my meditation practice and then now being able to come back and mindfully enjoy my wine. So the main reason is we're here to experience joy, right? I truly believe that this life is meant to be filled with joy. And we can experience more joy if we come at things from the level of presence and the level of really tapping into all our senses. So not only will it heighten the experience of whatever you're consuming, let's say for wine, for example, which we'll be talking more about, the aromas, the flavors, everything will be more enjoyable, but it'll also, in my belief, be more nourishing than to our form. And when we're mindful about our consumption, we tend to consume less. We can tend to come at it with intention. And I think it just has it's such a powerful way to not be on an extreme one or the other, right? So there's extreme overconsumption and then there's extreme, constriction, if you will, in terms of no consumption, let's say. And this is an opportunity to kind of come in the middle. It's not for everybody, but it's certainly been powerful in my journey. And so that's why I'm compelled to share it with others.
You know, I've got to share this with you listening to you right now, because I wasn't quite sure where we were going to go. but, you know, the listeners know that where I live, I call myself a gentleman farmer now because we have a lot of fruit trees, citrus, avocado, etc. And I've taught our grandkids, particularly the little ones, that when they go out and pick the fruit, they talk to the trees. And, you know, they say, thank you, tree, before they collect it. And it was very interesting this morning that our youngest granddaughter, she's 2 years old, youngest granddaughter, 2 years old. I picked a bunch of fruit for them to take home, grapefruit, etc. And I saw her literally taking the grapefruit and the oranges and the lemons and the limes, and she was hugging every one of them.
Oh,
and literally hugging every one of them and then gently putting it back. And I'm wondering, Maria, what this will do globally if we spread this word, right?
Right. So think about just the reaction we both had. I think Michelle and I both went to our hearts, hand on our hearts, right? So that sense of gratitude and of love and of almost reverence for that beautifully grown fruit, that is so powerful, I think, not only in nourishing the physical form through the nutrients from the citrus, right? But the energetic and even the spirit with and the emotional with that sense of gratitude. I think it's between 10 or 15 seconds, I believe, that you have to sit with the sensation of gratitude for it to start to wire in, right? Versus a negative thought, which is like less than a millisecond, right? So I think it's so powerful. It's just, and it's something we overlook because I think it's one, culturally, we're programmed to overlook it, right? In this very fast-paced, production-focused, productivity addicted society. Hopefully that's not offensive to anybody, but that's the society that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. So we're wired for this, right? And to the extent where a lot of us don't even smell our food that we're eating anymore. We don't even realize all the flavors that we could enjoy because we're just cramming it in the middle of a meeting, maybe even, and then to get to our next task. So everything is going so fast that the opportunity to slow down not only will have benefits to the nervous system, right, but also the digestive system because they're all connected. So I think there's just so many benefits. We could go any angle on these, but it's a tremendous gift that you're offering your grandkids in stepping in with that type of gratitude out of the gates, because what if we did this at every meal?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and again, Michelle, I know you've got stuff you want to talk about, but as I'm listening and getting a feel for Maria's vibe, because that's what I do, I just get a sense that you're doing coaching, but it's almost a global change that's taking place, that you're planting seeds, right? And I love the fact that it's chakras and Chardonnay, because I think our listeners know wine, particularly honey wine, that's a whole nother topic, mead, it's always been called the drink of the gods. And wine has always been, at least as I was taught, a symbol of blessing, right? An abundance. So I'm just curious, Maria, how did you come up with pairing these two? No pun intended.
yeah. So I, you know, at the beginning, I'd been in the wine industry about 10, now it's been 10 years. And so it's something where it was always kind of a passion of mine. I started pouring in a little boutique paste tasting room about once a month on the road to Yosemite. In fact, I was just there yesterday. And so it's something that I'd loved. And then I also started exploring teaching meditation and yoga. I'd been doing that for a while and still also in the tech world as well. So all these different hats that I was wearing. And at the beginning of that, you know, as we started out talking about earlier before we hit record, I think in terms of the pandemic, when that hit and we were no longer able to teach yoga indoors, yes, and all the studios closed and we weren't able to taste indoors, right? So that piece of, so all these pieces of my connection to other beings, right, to have this space to really explore these teachings went away, right? We moved digital, but I really missed that in-person connection. And thank God we have this beautiful, you know, valley that I live in, the Central Valley of California, and the climate such where we could go outside and do yoga outside at the winery. And so I started teaching yoga and wine classes, and that evolved into, well, let's do a workshop or two. So my first workshop that really got huge rave reviews was Chakras and Chardonnay, where we went through a class about these different energy centers that can really empower us, right, if we learn about them and learn how to leverage them. And then I took them through a tasting flight. And so what I found is, as I was thinking about, okay, you know, wine tasting is this very mindful experience. It really can be, but it's not always, right? And so I kind of took the two, the five S's, let's say, that you would, part of the wine training that I did is the five S's of tasting, and then my mindfulness training, and just merged them. And so I was doing workshops on occasion up there and just got through lots of encouragement and a little nudge here and a little nudge there. I people wanted me to take it to a broader audience. And I certainly had that desire too. How do I get this message out because of this feedback that I'd been getting locally was so compelling. So lots of encouragement and a little pulling from others in the podcasting world. And I finally said, what the heck? Let's do this. So, yay. And since then it's been just a exciting ride. You know, it's just been such a means to really connect and evolve, right, with other with others all over the globe. So
By the way, before we get too far into this, I don't think we mentioned it, but Maria, can you let people know how to best to get in touch with you?
Sure. So my website's take5.health, so rather than .com.health, and then my handles on social media is at take5health.
And it's the number 5, not F-I-V-E.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So since many of our listeners kind of tune in order to get a stress management technique, a tip or a tool, what can they apply today to make their lives a little more peaceful, a little more calm? Yeah. Do you have something that speaks to you today that you would want to teach us or share?
I think the Take 5 mindful tasting process we can go through, because it can apply to wine, but it can also apply to food. In fact, I just did this process myself with my lunch here outside a few minutes ago before we got on this. So yeah, it's something that is, as mentioned, just really dramatically changed my personal journey, and I've gotten great feedback from others. And so it starts with arriving. And so if you think about the last meal you had, think about whether or not you were truly present for that meal. Were you there focused on the food, or in this case, let's say wine, or was your head still thinking about the email that you didn't send, that you needed to send, what you have to do later on, you know, the kids need this, whatever it might be. So typically, I shouldn't say typically, but oftentimes we find ourselves in front of our plate or in front of our glass, and we are not present for that which is on it, right? We are wrapped up in whatever the monkey mind is trying to problem solve on, right? And so to become mindful about what we're going to consume, we have to first start by just arriving. And so the fastest way to arrive that I've found personally is through the breath. The breath is such a powerful tool to become present. And so what I encourage people to do in this first step of arriving is just slowing down the breath cycles, taking 5 slow, deep breath cycles to the count of 5.
Take 5.
Yeah. So everything I do is kind of shortened and compressed, because about a little over a decade ago, when I was recovering from a nervous breakdown after not having taken care for myself personally, because I was too busy taking care of others, I had to start small. I couldn't wrap my head around taking an hour for myself or a half an hour. So I said, I can take 5 minutes. And sometimes you might say, you don't have 5 minutes. If you don't have 5 minutes, take 5 breaths.
Okay.
This arrives step one in the process. If I'm teaching a workshop, I'll actually guide you through a full mindfulness journey to arrive. But if you're doing this at home, just take 5 slow, deep, normal breaths. So what that's going to do, it's going to take you out of, you know, a lot of times we're still in the mobilized state of the sympathetic nervous system. Sometimes, I mean, the way I used to eat was standing at my desk, responding to an email and, and, you know, snacking on whatever it is. Right. And so that's a recipe for disaster, because my digestive system is throttled back when I'm in that sympathized state, which you are, if you're doing, you know, especially if it's a nasty gram email you're responding to, right? And so so that step is really important, because if we can become present, then we can become intentional. Yeah. So the next step is then to set an intention. What's your intention behind the sip, or what's on the plate? Be simple as to enjoy the beautiful flavors or to nourish my body. So I mentioned my journey was kind of self-medicating to meditating. You know, over a decade ago, when I was medicating with wine, I had an unspoken intention to take the edge off my anxiety or to numb pain. And so by slowing down and getting present, there's a check that comes in there. And then I ask myself, what's my intention behind the sip? And if the intention is I'm going to enjoy the beautiful flavors, enjoy the company, what have you, versus there are times where I'll notice, what is my intention? Is it because it's been a long day? In that case, I'll say, okay, I'm just not going to have the glass, because for me, in my personal journey, that's not nourishing then to me. So that's a really important piece of that arriving to allow you to become intentional, because I don't think we can step into intentionality in our lives if we're going 100 miles an hour. So become present first and then become intentional. And then the next step is admiring. And so often we're just, you know, feeding our faces without actually looking at the beautiful colors of our food, right? So by admiring, if we're looking at a wine, we're going to be looking at the different hue of the wine, right? The color. We would give the wine a little swirl in the glass, because that allows the wine to arrive, just like we arrive through the breath. That allows the wine to breathe and pull in the oxygen to bring the aromas out. So as you're looking at your plate, or if you're doing this with wine, you're just admiring the colors. Maybe there's a nuance that you never saw. I've had a grapefruit earlier, and it was the most beautiful kind of really bright yellow, like brighter than any other grapefruit I'd had lately. And I was just enamored by this grapefruit. Now, if I would have been on my phone or at my computer doing that, I wouldn't have had the presence to really see those colors and have that enjoyment of just the colors. And so then with that admiring process, you know, there's more to it when we're looking at wine, because you could talk about the legs and all this kind of stuff. But really with food or anything, it's just engaging and starting those salivary glands, right? Digestive enzymes. Digestion starts with that site, right? And so we're prepping. All of this is the breathing. We're prepping the digestive system, the intending, we're prepping the digestive system and the admiring, because we're slowing everything down. And we're also getting ourselves further into that parasympathetic state, or the more restful state. They call it the rest and digest for something, right? And that's that we actually can digest better. So then stepping into the next step would be exploring. And that's where we get to actually smell the food and eat the food, or in this case, smell the wine, pick up the different nuances in the aroma, and then go into the tasting. And so something I often share when we're doing wine tasting is that if you haven't smelled, let's say, a particular scent, like if you've never smelled the concrete after the rain, you won't pick up wet cement in a wine glass, right? If you haven't smelled a lychee nut, you're not going to pull that out, because it's our olfactory senses, right? It's our sense memory. But just taking the time to smell what's on your plate, again, it's preparing the body for digestion, and it's more enjoyable then. It's just,
I've got to interrupt you here, because I've got to tell you,
are you salivating? I'm salivating.
But it's not only that, it's just, it was very interesting. I was listening to my wife talk to, is it a sommelier? Is that what they're?
Sommelier.
And she was explaining to them that she has learned that she likes wine that has been stored in oak barrels rather than anything else. And she can taste the difference. I don't think I can. I'm not that sophisticated. So is that also, Maria, something like that, part of being aware and present? And
yeah, absolutely. When you slow down and you get more present, and you start to kick off these different senses, right? Then they become more acute. Even just so earlier when I was saying I, you know, had a mindful lunch outside, I'll close my eyes a lot of times. Like, think about it, when you want to hear something really, really close, you close your eyes and you can hear it a little bit better. Same is true of any of our other senses, right? When we kind of condense one, the others expand. And so it can really help in that regard. So, but it's also, if you haven't ever really paid attention and smelled oak, if you've never gone up and smelled oak, you might not pick it up, right? So it you have to have smelt it before or tasted it before in order to smell it again. But you can train yourself. I'm living proof of that. I had COVID early on and lost my sense of taste and smell, and went to go pour wine in the winery and thought, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I can't tell them what this is all about, right? But you can train yourself back. Yeah. So that was it. We were at Explore, right? Exploring. Explore. So just exploring all the different, you know, with wine tasting too, where you can do this with any food. So foods that are astringent, wine's astringent, it's going to give you an uplift on the sides of the tongue, right? It's going to pull up. You can notice how it feels on the mouth, the textures, you know, all the different things about our food that we kind of take for granted, right? We can really explore more acutely if we are present with it. So, and then the last step in the mindful tasting process is reflect. And by that, in the wine industry, we talk about the finish, which is a fancy word for aftertaste, right? But we can do this with any food that you taste. Or I'm drinking ginger tea right now, and I have this sweet kind of warming scent in my tongue because of the heat of the ginger. And so how did it leave you, right? Reflecting on how did it leave you? Did you enjoy it? What is lingering in terms of the flavor? But then also just taking a moment to reflect on all the beings, right? All the humans doing all the doing in the process to get whatever you just consumed from where it originated, like the beautiful grapefruit picked off your tree, right, to your hands and into your digestive system. If we pause to think about all the humans that are doing all that work, again, that space of gratitude that we're holding in that moment, it's going to just be more nourishing to the physical form. And then you'll end on a more peaceful note too. So what you'll find in slowing down like this is your digestive system is going to be better prepared, right? And so with that, what happens is you're less likely to have digestive issues after you have a meal. You are likely going to consume less. And so if you think about when you've had just a full-on smorgasbord, you know, gluttony moment, which we all have, right? You know, I'm thinking about a meal I had this weekend versus one I had today. You know, we all can be on any ends of the spectrum, but if we slow down and become mindful, we're going to become more satiated quicker, with less, I should say. And it's also just going to leave you with more warmth in terms of your spirit, I believe, and your emotional state if you take this time to really be with your food. So if you've never tried to have a mindful meal, right, or mindful glass of wine before, I encourage you to try it because it can be a challenge at first because oftentimes we're used to reading a magazine, being on our phone, you know, listening to music. I always encourage people start with just one meal and just try it in silence, just by yourself. Take one that you can easily control. So for me, it's usually my lunch because I eat that by myself on a break from work. And so I try to always eat it in nature. So I was out outside and start there. So start with one and just see how it works. So
I love it. That's so beautiful. I took a workshop with Judy Hollis, who's an eating disorder specialist. She wrote the book Fat is the Family Affair and a variety of really good books that kind of fundamental years ago. And the workshop had us all do a mindful eating and it was really powerful. Like you're saying, it's a great, an incredibly important thing to slow down and think about how that food got from seed to your table. There's a lot of magic involved in that.
Yeah. And I think to your point too on that, when you said seed to table, if we think about times when we're eating more packaged and processed stuff, which aren't going to have as much life to us, right? If you pausing to think about that, if you think about all the processing that went in, that might make you question what you're consuming too. So there's all these little nuances to this that can, curiosities that can open up, right, as a result of slowing down and being mindful.
So it seems like, is this a regular practice of yours in terms of managing stress and how you personally might regularly keep your shit together in a stressed world? Is mindful?
Absolutely. So, I mean, this is one of many practices that I've put into play. So I start and end my day with meditation. I get mindful movement in early in the morning, and then I take 5-minute breaks throughout the day to do things to open my physical form when I find I'm getting too contracted and compressed. And then I try to do one mindful meal a day. So, and I, like I said, I do the one that I can control, which is the one that I'm the only one I'm feeding. So I try to do that in nature. If nature allows, I will be outside with just me and my food without any device, without anything to read, without anything, any music. The music is nature. Wow. And just be with the food. And you don't have to have hours to do this. I mean, I did it in 20 minutes earlier. And what I find this does is it takes us out of the external focus that we're in most of our days, right? Our world is really designed to draw us out of ourselves. And this can help us come back to ourselves. So that's why I'm really passionate about it myself and to those that I teach. Yeah.
You know, I love everything you've been talking about, and it's all exciting, but I know our listeners are going to want to dive deeper. So you've told us about your website, but I want people to know your podcast. When do you air your episodes?
Okay. So Chakras and Chardonnay, it comes out weekly on Wednesdays. As we record this, I'm wrapping up season 2. So the finale of that will actually be this Wednesday. And so that will be, what is it? March 27th it will be. And, for example, that one's going to be a professional cellist that also does Reiki healing. And so she's combined these two modalities, and it's just really beautiful. Anyway,
I'm going to have to go listen to that.
And then
on your site, people can book a mindful tasting event like what you've talked about.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So I offer these. I typically do them at different wineries. So I was just at one in San Ynez. I also do them virtually.
That was my question.
Yeah. So I can do them virtually for a group just in your home or wherever you're at. I do them in the workplace too. So sometimes I'll go into corporations and we'll do a mindfulness series with then a mindful tasting at the end. But yeah.
And the one thing, I have not opened the link, but I see you've got a tasting book.
Oh, yes. So that was the winter version, fall, winter. After the last class I taught, we did it was mindful recipes. So they're wine pairings, wine and food pairings. All the recipes I teach Ayurvedic lifestyle. And so they all incorporate the different 6 tastes, and it's mindful. And then they're paired with a wine. So yeah, you can download my ebook, and there's a subscription option on there. So I have a newsletter that goes out every Wednesday, and that includes a mindfulness tip of the week, as well as a recorded guided relaxation that I put out once a week. And if you want more of those relaxations, I have a library that people subscribe to. Individuals are only $5 a month, and then there's company plans too. And those are a full library of over 100 different videos for neck and shoulder and low back stretches, all 5 minutes, as well as guided relaxations that are always 5 minutes, because we're busy, but we can take 5 minutes.
You have given our listeners so many wonderful options and tools. I'm so, so grateful that you came on today to share your gifts with us. We have a little bit of a tradition on our show where we like to ask someone a final question. So I'm going to ask you, Maria, how do you want to be remembered?
I want to be remembered as someone who brought light to the person that's remembering me.
Wonderful.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We've run out of time, but is there anything, Maria or Michelle, that either one of you want to finish up on?
Just gratitude. Thank you, guys. And thank you to your listeners. I appreciate it.
All right. Just as a quick reminder, you can reach Maria at Take5. That's the number 5, not FIVE. Take5.health. Her email address, you can obviously get it on her website, but her email address is maria@take5.health. And you can see all this wonderful stuff she's got on there, and book an event, book one virtually, listen to the podcast. I'm going to, and then get her ebook. All right. With that, let's see what we're doing next week. Oh, we're going to talk about where I live. We're going to talk about blue zones.
That's
and,
right.
Living better.
Mm-hmm.
So it ties right in with conscious consumption. And we'll give you some tips. With that, everybody, be well. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've reached the end of another episode of Keeping Your Together in a Stressed World with Michelle Post and Scott Grossberg. If you like our show, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate our broadcast, and leave a review. The podcast is for general information only and not intended to be legal or mental health advice, nor the formation of a lawyer-client, nor therapist-patient relationship. Stay tuned for our next episode, and thank you for listening.